بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك عليه كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask that the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the one who is more beloved to us than ourselves, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ووالده والناس أجمعين. As the Prophet Muhammad said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as related by Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, he said that none of you will perfect or complete your iman until you love me more than you love yourself, more than you love your father, and more than you love your own children. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a famous hadith that none of you will complete your faith till you love me more than you love your fathers, your sons, and another narration, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, than all of humanity together. One time, Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, after myself, I love you the most. He said, Umar radiallahu anhu, to the Prophet, after myself, I love you more than anything else. I guess he was looking at like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? The first is yourself. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, you're still not a believer, Ya Umar. And he said, you will not be a believer till you love me more than you love yourself. So the Prophet, he walked away from him. And then Umar, he was thinking. And then he ran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, uhibbuka akthar man uhibbu nafsi. Oh, Messenger of Allah, I love you more than I love myself. He said, now you are a believer, Ya Umar. So always when we say the name of Muhammad, we should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Even if you're listening, even if you're in Jum'ah, this is not considered a law as unnecessary talk. Because Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَةُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ سَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make salawat ala habibihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a very beautiful hadith, which is authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever makes salawat on me, salawat means to say peace and blessings upon him, okay, in English. Whoever makes salawat on me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do three things. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you 10 of your sins. Imagine how many girls you saw today on campus. Imagine how many things you saw on campus you shouldn't see today. So I'm sure if you just count how many sins the eyes did, you're going to start sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? The second thing he said is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you 10 hasanat, 10 good deeds. So you get 10 cancelled and you get 10. Kind of like a tax refund, right? Take and give. And the last one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise that person 10 levels, 10 darajat. So when we say the name of Muhammad, you don't have to say it loud either. You can say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you got this 10, 3, 30 blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hope, inshallah, Allah will make us eligible for that. We can scoot up a little bit, it's fine. Last time I checked, I had my shots. So be comfortable. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If I need to raise my voice, just hold your hand up like that, you know, raise the roof, right? We have also raised the voice. So I'll do my best to raise my voice. Today we're talking about Surah Al-Fatiha wa atharuha fi tazkiyat al-nafs. The explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha and its effect on the purification of the soul. Ya Habibi, can you sit up here away from the girls? The brother in the back, thank you. Jazakallah khair. You got box seats, man, so just go around that way. And come out of here, you know. Someone can serve him some drinks and peanuts and stuff later on. This is the box seats right here. So we give our brother a front row seat. What's that? You can sit up there because we won't let the sisters take the chairs. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they have taught us about tazkiyatun nafs, the purification of the soul. And Surah Al-Fatiha has a lot of benefits. In fact, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, the book he wrote, Madarj al-Salikin, he took it from Al-Harawi. Al-Harawi was a great scholar of tasawwuf. And he wrote a book. In this book, he elaborated on Surah Al-Fatiha. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he took this book and he added to it, and he took a lot of the statements of the Shaykh rahmatullah alayh, and he wrote another book called Madarij al-Salikin, Bayna Manazil, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. The steps of the Salik is the one who wants to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between the scale of Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. And subhanAllah, this book in its real form is actually 3 volumes in Arabic, around 700 pages. Wholly dedicated to spirituality. A recent summarization of it was done in Arabic by Sheikh Rashid into 2 volumes. And in this book, chapter after chapter after chapter about the diseases of the heart, how to cure the diseases of the heart. Also chapters on the good qualities of the heart. All of it just coming from Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Alhamdulillah, we're going to take all of Fatiha, because we don't have time to go through 3 volumes of the book of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayh. But at tazkiya, maybe now no other topic became more attacked, more misunderstood than the concept of tazkiya. Tazkiya to nafs. And we cannot translate a tazkiya as spirituality. As I told you last time, spirituality is Shirley MacLaine chilling on a mountain in Hollywood with her crystals, getting in touch with Martians. This is spirituality. We do not have an abstract concept of spirituality. We have something which is completely tangible. And it is called a tazkiyah. Tazkiyah means 2 things in Arabic. To grow and to purify. To grow and to purify. In the 9th chapter of the Quran, Allah said, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَارِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَاهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّهِمْ بِهَا. Take from their property, O Muhammad, zakah, to purify them, وَتُزَكِّهِمْ. تُزَكِّهِمْ here means to make them grow by taking the sadaqah. In other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. Indeed, successful is the one who purified their soul. Here, azka, it means, it means to be pure. So 2 meanings, to purify and to grow. That's why nobody should be scared to give zakah. Because one, when they give zakah, it came from the same root word, they're going to purify themselves, also their money going to what? It's going to grow. As the Prophet said, مَا نَقَصَ مَادٌ مِنْ صَدَقَ. That the property doesn't decrease, from giving charity. Is tazkiyatun nafs actually founded in the Sharia? Some people said, no tazkiyah. The only thing we have is to be active. Okay? Is tazkiyatun nafs, to work to have a pure heart and soul, something which is mabniyun ala kitabillahi wa sunnati rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is it something that's founded in our Sharia? We go to the Quran, and we could go to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim and his son Ismail, when they built the Kaaba, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this story. And then they made this dua. رَبَّنَا وَبَعْثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. O our Lord, raise from amongst them, meaning the people who lived in the area of Hijaz, Al-Jazirta Arabiya, the Arabs, raise from amongst them a prophet. What's one lesson we can take from this verse? How many years before Christ did Ibrahim live? Who knows? Guess. 800 years? No. Closer. We're going to play hot and cold like we did in elementary school? Cold, hot, warm, hot. Between 3,000 and 5,000 years. Can you believe that we make dua and we say, how come Allah didn't answer our dua in 1 week? Because Ibrahim, it took this dua 3,000 years to be answered. So one lesson we could take is you should never give up on your dua from this story. So they made this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a messenger. And then they gave some of the maqasid, the objectives of this prophet's role or job. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكِ to read your verses to them. To teach them the book and hikmah. And Imam al-Shafi'i, he mentioned in his monumental work, الرسالة, الحكمة أي السنة. He said, الحكمة, wisdom, is a synonym with a sunnah. SubhanAllah, our sunnah is hikmah. Then they said, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and purify them. So here we find a clear verse proving that tazkiyatun nafs, it is founded in our sharia, our Islamic tradition. You go to the same surah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He answers this dua. And you know, it's something interesting. The dua comes 3 pages later. So maybe this means that, you know, your dua will be answered quickly. You know? 3 pages later, although it's 3,000 years later, we find the dua is answered in the same surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, can you sit on the floor so the sister can take the chair when they come? You can sit here, 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 anywhere you like. I can give my chair too. We can all be on the floor, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابُ الْحِكْمَةِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. See if you catch something in the answer of the dua. Allah says, and we have sent you, or thus we have sent you, a messenger from amongst yourselves, okay, to recite to you our verses. So remember, Ibrahim asked Allah, oh Allah, send a prophet. Prophet Ibrahim had this dua. Oh Allah, send someone who will answer or recite your verses. MashaAllah, here's the dua. It's answered. To recite our verses to you. See if you catch something. To purify you. To teach you the book and wisdom. And to teach you what you didn't know. Did you catch something? I'm going to read the dua of Ibrahim. Then I'm going to read the dua, the answer of the dua. Ibrahim said, oh our Lord, and his son Ismail. Oh our Lord, send a messenger to them who will recite your verses to them. Teach them the book and the sunnah, wisdom, and purify them. Okay, so, recite the verses, teach them the book and wisdom, and purify. 4. The answer came, recite our verses, and purify them. Teach them the book and wisdom. Did you see something changed? Yeah, can we shut the door? The order of the dua, the order of the answer changed in the dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took tazkiyah from number 4. Purification of the soul number 4 in the dua of Ibrahim. And in his answer, he made it number 2. Go to Surah Al-Jum'ah. In Surah Al-Jum'ah, Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا يَتْوَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Again in Surah Al-Jum'ah, the second verse of Surah Al-Jum'ah, Allah answers the dua, and again He mentioned tazkiyah in the second place, not the fourth. Go to Surah Ali Imran, the third chapter. Allah says, لَقَدْ أَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ أَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ رُسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْوَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Again, in Surah Al-Imran, the third chapter of the Qur'an, Allah mentions that indeed we sent a great favor. Wallahi, we sent a great favor. Whenever lam came in front of qad, laqad, la, it means wallahi. Wallahi, indeed, we did a great, great service to the believers. When we sent a messenger to them, from amongst themselves, to read our verses to them, or the verses of Allah to them, and to purify them. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the order? To show us the importance of tazkiyatun nafs. To show us the importance in our tarbiyah. If we go to the Qur'an, what is the greatest term that anyone can ever be given? The greatest name is what? Prophet ﷺ said in a famous hadith, the greatest name is Abdullah. It's related by Sahih, Imam Muslim in Sahih. The greatest name that anyone can be given is Abdullah or Abdurrahman. Because Abd. And you go to the 17th chapter of the Quran, Surah Isra, the first verse. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj, above the seven heavens. And the ulama said, like Imam al-Qurtubi, he said, this is the closest that anyone has ever been to Allah physically. was when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken above the seven heavens. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Subhanalladhi asra bi nabihi aw bi rasulihi lam yaqul qala subhanalladhi asra bi 'abdihi layla min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. In that moment when the Prophet was this close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the term that Allah used? 'Abd. To show you the greatest position that anyone can ever be in this life is a slave of Allah. That's why above seven heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, glorified be the one who took his slave. He didn't say his prophet, he didn't say his messenger, he didn't say his habib, his beloved, he said his slave. So subhanAllah, as a Muslim, what's a lesson we can take from this that affect our life? That maybe like we said, you know, I shouldn't wear hijab, I'll be like debased. I shouldn't pray, I'll be debased. I shouldn't like not cuss, you know, with my fellow classmates, you know, when I'm hanging out with them doing projects and they speaking like Dolomite and DMX and Snoop Doggy Dogg and all these wonderful intellectual leaders of the current world and you know, philosophers. You know, so maybe I should cuss too. Remember, there's no greater honor than being the slave of Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that the closest anyone can ever be to Allah is when? In sujood. As well as by Imam Muslim. But this term, abd, is used three times in the Quran to talk about, it's used many times in the Quran, but three times to discuss the actual makeup of the Muslim personality. Because now on campus you're like, should I be active? Should I be spiritual? Should I be spiritual? Should I be active? Should I be intelligent? Should I be spiritual? Should I be active? What should I be? Hopefully you're intelligent, okay? This is how you have to be first, because Allah began with knowledge before anything else. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Know that there is no God but Allah. First you have to know it. This is فَعْلُ أَمْر. This is an order. We go to the Quran and we find that the greatest title that was given to any human being was not the MVP of the NBA or the NFL or the Bollywood, you know, award winner of the year or whatever. But the greatest title was عَبْد of Allah. The servant of Allah. This is honor. And we find this term, abd, is used in the Qur'an in three different aspects of our tarbiyah. One is knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fatir, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Indeed, only the people who fear Allah are His abd, His servants, His ibad, who know Him, who have knowledge. About being active, Allah said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ. Indeed, the servants of Ar-Rahman in the 25th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Furqan, are those who walk on the earth with humility. Activeness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talked about tazkiyatun nafs and used the term servant. He said in Surah Al-Saffat about Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Abraham, إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That Abraham, he approached his Lord with a clean heart. Then later on Allah said, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Indeed, he is from our ibad. So we take from these verses, as my sheikh was teaching me, Sheikh Salah Sultan, the tarbiyah and makeup of a Muslim is three. Intellectual superiority. We should be strong. Al-fiqra al-qawiyya. We should have intelligent minds. Secondly, we should have clean hearts, tazkiyatun nafs. Thirdly, we should be active. Now, not everyone, as we gave the story about Imam Malik last week, not everybody is going to be balanced on all three. Maybe some people balance towards tazkiyah. Maybe some people balance towards activeness. Maybe some people balance towards knowledge. Okay? But they recognize the importance of all three. And we go to Surah Ibrahim. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah combined all three. In one verse, he said, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah says that He sets forth the example of a good tree, which is like, actually a good word, which is like a good tree, whose roots are solid, and its branches are shooting out everywhere. Ibn Abbas said, actually, this verse is a simile for the believer. And he said, the good word, Ibn Abbas, he said, the good word is La ilaha illallah. And the tree which this good word is affecting is the believer, the Muslim. And the asl, the foundation of a Muslim is what? Compared to the roots of a tree, the foundation of a believer will be what? As the Prophet said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. The Prophet Muhammad said, indeed in the body there's a piece of flesh. If it's corrupted, the whole body is corrupted. If it's sound, the whole body is sound. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. And he said, indeed this is the heart. Related by Imam Muslim. So the foundation of the tree is the roots. The foundation of the Muslim's personality is his or her heart. وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. And the branches that shooting out from the tree are what for the believer? His or her what? What do you think? Actions, yeah. SubhanAllah, look at the beauty of the Qur'an. Look how the Qur'an, maybe we read this verse like a million times, and the only thing we thought about was talking. You know, when I talk, it will plant a seed, and then it will be... That's true, that's one tafsir of this verse. But how many of us, when we read this verse, we understood that in this one small verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given the complete personality of the Muslim. Knowledge, because you have to have knowledge to say, La ilaha illallah. Spirituality, if your asl is thabit, and your branches are shooting out, is to be active. So the Muslim personality has all three. We go to also the other verses in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes in the Qur'an, He swears. And He swears in the Qur'an to emphasize things called Al-Qasam. Like, we do that, right? How many of you play basketball? You guys be playing ball, man. I'm just a sheikh, man. I just make a tasbih all the time, right? You can make, it's good you make tasbih too, right? Tasbih and play, right? Okay. Make tasbih in the morning and after asr and play. You know, make your ma'thurat and then play. Make your wadifa and then play. Pray and play. So, how many of you play basketball? I'm not a good salesman, I guess. Okay, I play basketball. I used to play basketball till I got older. And subhanAllah, you know when you play basketball or you play any type of sports, if there's a foul or if there's some type of violation and it's in question, what will someone say to emphasize their position? Huh? I put that on my mama, man. Right? I swear by my mother. Alhamdulillah, Muslims, we don't say that, right? We're talking about other folks. Okay? We're not talking about ourselves, hopefully. Because the Muslim should only swear on Allah. Wallahi. Right? Because to swear on something else is considered shirk. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also in the Quran, He swears sometimes to emphasize things. Like, for example, He said, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the sun, the bright morning sun, and so forth to emphasize. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Allah swears by the night. وَالطُّور. By the mountain Tur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, وَالنَّجِمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. Allah swears by the setting of the stars. In many places, Allah swears in the Quran to emphasize points. Okay? And these swears, after He swears, they have an answer, what we call jawab al-qasam. The answer to the swearing. SubhanAllah, there's one very beautiful surah in the Quran, I'm sure all of you memorized, inshaAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears in a way that He doesn't swear anywhere else in the Quran. Usually like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will swear like two or three times. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. Like in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah swears like two or three things and then He answers it. But in this surah, Allah swears like seven or nine times. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا وَجُوَابُ قَسَمْ قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He says, Allah says in this beautiful surah, one of my favorite surah, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُحَاهَا. By the sun and her beautiful light, strong morning light. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And the moon as she follows the sun. Okay? وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. And the day as it outshines. Excuse me. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَهَا. And by the night as it veils the day. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. By the earth and the one who spread it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا. and the soul, and the one who shaped it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The one who inspired the soul to know what's good or right. إِنَّ هَدَيْنَهُ سَبِيلًا إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. What's the answer to all this? Allah swears by the... Excuse me, I have to review it. He swears by the sun. He swears by the moon. He swears by the night and day. He swears by the heavens. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. Then he swears by the earth. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَهَا. The one who spread the earth. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا. And the one who shaped the soul of the human being and inspired it about good and evil. Then the answer after all of this is what? Indeed, successful is the one who purified it. And it has to go back to a noun. And the noun is the soul. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا تَقْوَاهَا قَدَ أَفْلَحْ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. There it goes back to the soul. So all of this swearing to mention this. وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. And indeed lost is the one who didn't take care of their soul. My man Jacques Barzon, he mentioned in his book, Dawn to Decadence. You need to read this book, especially if you're involved in da'wah. It's really big, so get it in the summertime or when you're not having classes. Dawn to Decadence, 500 years of Western history. He talks about how, since basically the 16th century, especially the Western mind, because he's talking in the Western historical framework, has basically lost contact with purifying their soul. I mean, for example, you get like campus newspapers. What are the major like advertisements you find in campus newspapers that we can say in here? For example, shoot one out. Talk, man. Don't be scared. Food, right? What else? Clothes. Yeah, clothes. What else? Parties. Getting funky with it. What else? Furniture. Yeah. Have you ever seen like an article like, your soul? You need to fix your soul. We laugh because it would be bizarre. But look at the importance of it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore like 7 or 9 times to emphasize a tazkiyatun nafs. Also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith which I alluded to earlier when he said, indeed in the body there's a piece of flesh. If it's sound, the whole body is sound. If it's corrupted, the whole body is corrupted. It is the heart. Now, what does this have to do with Surah Al-Fatiha? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks are only due to Allah. Who is Allah? Who are Rabbul Alameen? Allah is the... It doesn't just mean Lord. Rabb means cherisher, sustainer, maintainer, caretaker, and Lord of everything that exists. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you clothes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you elements to take from the world and make things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even sent some of those elements from out of this earth, from outer space to this earth, that they could be used by us. SubhanAllah, this is a caretaker. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you your eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you your hearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you intellect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the ability to communicate. عَلَّمُهُ الْبَيَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you everything you need materially as Rabb. And also as Rabb, He's going to give you everything you need spiritually. So the first aspect of tafsir from Surah Al-Fatiha we take about spirituality is that everything the soul needs is found in the Sharia to guide it to what's right and guide it to what's wrong. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because He's رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Can you find anything in creation that Allah didn't make? You cannot. Can you find anything that's going to benefit your heart or your soul that didn't come from Allah? That's why Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, "Tariqatuna mabniun ala kitabillahi wa sunnati rasulih sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani, rahmatullah alayhi, he said that our tariqa is fixed on the book and the sunnah. Our way, our method of tazkiyah is fixed on the Qur'an and the sunnah. That's all we need. And if you go to the Qur'an, you find that the number one reason that people's souls were corrupted is very clear. Go to Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, the ulama said there are 1,000 issues of halal and haram just in Surah Al-Baqarah. 1,000 pieces of wisdom in Surah Al-Baqarah. One time a group of people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was going to choose a leader. And there was like a young guy, like, you know, not my age, you guys are younger than me, but your age or my age, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, what did you memorize from Quran? SubhanAllah, the Prophet, he chooses the leader. It's not, are you from the Saidi, or are you from MQM, are you from People's Party, are you Punjabi, are you Sindhi, are you Oaklandi, are you Oklahoma, are you this? No. هَلْ حَفِثْتَ شَيْئًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Did you memorize anything from the Quran? Some guy said, I memorized this, this, this. So I memorized this, this, this. This little guy, he said, I memorized Surah Al-Baqarah. حَفِثْتَ Surah Al-Baqarah. The Prophet said, هَلْ عَنْدَكَ بَقْرَةً? Really? You got the Baqarah? He said, yeah. He said, this is your leader. He was a boy. Not too young. We don't have the bid'ah of King Tut, yani, in our religion. But he was a young man, and the Prophet made him a leader. So go to Surah Al-Baqarah, and we find right before the end of the first hizb. Hizb is half a para, right? Half a just. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a story of the people of Moses. And how Moses came to them and said, you should slaughter this cow. What kind of cow is it? What color is it? That, right? We are very similar now, right? We're going to fast eat. What kind of moon is it? What does the moon look like? What color should it be? Some striking similarities there of how we have complexualized everything in Islam now. So then, subhanAllah, Musa told them, finally they slaughtered the cow. They didn't really want to. Then they did this. Then they did this. Then they turned away. Allah mentions that you turned away from the book and the messenger. Then he says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَكَ الْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. After he mentioned that they turned away from Allah and his messenger, he says, then, ثُمَّ, thereafter, your hearts became hard. And Allah said, even harder than bricks and stones. So we find in Surah Al-Fatiha, the first thing is that if we want to achieve a sound tazkiyah, we have to stick to the Sharia. We don't have to call Cleo. Call me now. To get tazkiyah to nafs. We don't have to, you know, hang out with some people and, you know, have some strange idea about, you know, tazkiyah to nafs. We find that it's fixed in the book and the sunnah. That's why Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh, one of the great scholars of tasawwuf, he said, our tariqah, our way, again, is fixed in the book and sunnah. Clear, everything we took. That's why sometimes the people of tasawwuf, people didn't give them respect. They said, oh, all people of Sufism are bid'ah, they are lost, they are this. A'udhu billahi, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to know who you're talking about and what they're teaching. If it's coming from the book and the sunnah, the only thing you can do is shut your mouth. Like Abu Hamid Ghazali. Many people attacking him. It was alim. One time I was giving a lecture, I said, Abu Hamid, Imam Ghazali said this one guy said, Astaghfirullah! Yeah, you sinned or something, man? Why are you saying Astaghfirullah? You must have done something wrong. Why are you saying Astaghfirullah? Also, go to Surah Al-Baqarah, and we find, and now you have to pay attention. Now you have to think like you know Arabic grammar really well, because I'm sure you do. And you have to think in a way like you understand Arabic. And I'm going to try to carry you, okay? Inshallah, you'll catch it. This is really amazing. Go to Surah Al-Fatiha. And we have in Arabic, also like in English, different tenses like first person, second person, third person, and so forth. We find that Surah Al-Fatiha, this is really amazing, begins in the third person. It begins in the third person. Because maybe someone says, you know, internally I'm suffering. Internally I feel like, you know, screwed up. So what's the first step I should take? Like me, the first one who needs to start on myself. Right? What's the first step to take in tazkiyah? To get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give my heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the first step? We find it in Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks are due to Allah alone, the Rabb of everything that exists, the Lord and Master of everything that exists. This is third person. Like somebody's just saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The most gracious, the most merciful. Maliki Yawm al-Din. The owner of the Day of Judgment, or Master of the Day of Judgment. Suddenly, the tense switches. This is the beauty of Arabic. It goes from the third person to the first. but why? You know, if you did this in English grammar, you can do this also in English grammar. We have something similar to it to bring about the same effect. But most people would jump on you for doing it. You change the tense. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. It's called Ghaybiyya. Third person. Suddenly it switches. Iyyaka na'budu. Now you're talking to Allah. Directly. Now you're saying, it's you alone I worship. No more third person. Now you and Allah. Iyyaka na'budu. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina namta alayhim. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim. Wa al-dhalin. It became a dua. It went from this third person to direct supplication. Why? If you go to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he tells you. He mentions that when you begin this surah, this is really cool. Maybe I'll make like a diagram so we can catch it. Okay? And I can show off my ascetic abilities. I don't think so. Unless you want some graffiti or something. Okay. Here you are. Okay, this is... See that ascetic ability right there? Michelangelo must be like flipping over in his grave, man. Okay, but this is you here. And subhanAllah, you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can assume that we will not draw Allah. So this is the straight path. Surat al-Mustaqim. Watch out, man. Surat al-Mustaqim. And subhanAllah, this is where you want to go. And you know, here's the club out here, the club in Arabic, and the shisha bar, and girls, and guys, and fasad, sinning, and you know, all kind of things is pulling you away, right? But you want to get to there. So subhanAllah, when you read Al-Fatiha, this is nice. Because we believe a tawheed is basically three aspects. One is that Allah has the power to do everything He wants. Whether good or bad happens to us, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing, we believe that Allah has the names and attributes which are above His creation, not like His creation. And also His actions are above the actions of creation. And also we believe in tawheed that Allah is the only one that's worshipped. So subhanAllah, look at Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen is Allah's power and lordship. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, His names and attributes. Malik Yawm al-Din, His af'al, His actions. Nobody can judge like Allah will judge. And ibadah is Iyyaka na'budu, right? So this is amazing. Ibn Kathir said, when you say Alhamdu, you take a step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you take another step. Why? You approached Allah by His lordship, then you approached Him by His names and attributes. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى فَدَعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah said, to Him belong the most beautiful names. So supplicate to Him by those names. If you don't know Arabic, you can say, oh, the one who provides, provide me. Oh, the one who's the source of guidance, guide me. Ar-Razaq, Ya Ar-Razaq, Razuqni, in Arabic and so forth. So you began with lordship. So you took a step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you acknowledged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes and names. Ar-Rahman. Some people said the name Ar-Rahman is actually the name of Allah. Why? Because look, He didn't say, Allah, Allam al-Qur'an, Khalaq al-Insan, Allamahu al-Bayan. But He started the surah how? Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Qur'an, Khalaq al-Insan. He didn't begin Surah Rahman by saying, Allah, the one who taught people speech, who created people. But He began by saying, the most merciful, who taught people speech, who created them. So He used His name, Ar-Rahman, as if it was the name of Allah. In Surah Taha, Ar-Rahman wa ala al-arsh istawa. He didn't say, Allah ala al-arsh istawa. He said, the most merciful, who rose above the throne. Didn't say Allah. So some ulama said the name Ar-Rahman is a synonym of the name of Allah, not one of His attributes. Wallahu a'lam. But you said Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now you get closer. Then you said Malik Yawm al-Din, what Allah does. Then you said Iyyaka na'budu. It's as if now you can ask Him directly. Catch the beauty of the Quran, man. It's very subtle that you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You said Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Take a step. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you took a step. Malik Yawm al-Din, you took a step. Now, because you approached Allah through His oneness and His lordship, you can talk to Him directly. Did you understand it? like the key to the door. The key to get close to Allah is at-tawheed. His oneness. That's why for any action to be accepted, we said somebody has to be Muslim. Because the key is to acknowledge Allah's unity. This is the beauty of Al-Fatiha. And that's why, subhanAllah, if you understand Arabic, and you understand Arabic really well, you read the Quran, pay attention and you will catch this asrar. These nice, subtle things. I'll review one more time. You said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. You said, praise be to Allah, the Lord of everything that exists. The most gracious, the most merciful, the master of the day of judgment. You alone we worship. Suddenly the tense switched to first person. Why? Because you acknowledged Allah by who He is. He is the Lord of everything. He is the possessor of the most beautiful names and attributes. He is the one who can do whatever He wants. يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. And His af'al are not like our af'al. His actions are above the actions of creation. When you say that, Allah loves that, and now you get close to Allah. And another very beautiful thing. After you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, then the door of dua is open to you. Because when you said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, what's the next verse? إِهْدِنَا, dua. We learn also how to make dua in Surah Al-Fatiha. It's another subject. When we make dua, we shouldn't, like, you know, I know how it is, like finals and stuff, you know, after Jumu'ah, you're like, oh, I'll give me an A. Right? Or, you want to get married? Please? Okay. And you go to the house of, you know, Chachi Jang or something. Right? But you shouldn't do that. You should begin, what? By praising Allah. Then after you praise Allah, you call on Him by His names and attributes. Then after you call on Him by His names and attributes, you recognize what He does. رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. خَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Then after that, you ask. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, if you look at his dua very carefully, like dua istikhara or sayyid al-istighfar, any of those wonderful dua of the Prophet ﷺ, you'll find he always begins, اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت. خَلَقَتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ. It's almost like Al-Fatiha. When he said, oh my Lord, اللهم أنت ربي. Oh my Lord, you are my, oh Allah, you are my Lord. This is the same as what in Fatiha? What? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma anta Rabbi. La ilaha illa ant. Is the same as what part of Al-Fatiha? Iyaka na'buru. Wa iyaka nasta'in. Khalaqatani. Again, rububiyya. Rabb. Wa ana abduk. Iyaka na'buru. Wa ana ala ahdik. I'm on this contract. What's the contract that you have with Allah? La ilaha illallah. It's called a contract. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ أَهْدِكَ وَعَهْدِكَ مَسْتَطَعْتَ. And subhanAllah, I'm doing my best. I'm making mistakes, but I'm trying. Then the dua came. After the Prophet ﷺ acknowledged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he made dua. Now, Al-Fatiha, after showing us the first step to tazkiyah, is to approach Allah through His oneness, through His unity. That's why before anyone becomes a Muslim, they have to say what? La ilaha illallah. Now you're a Muslim. Same if somebody wants to get close to Allah, they come close to Him by acknowledging who He really is. Then He brings them close to Him. We continue in Surah Al-Fatiha, and we find that Al-Fatiha has some of the best cures for some of the greatest sicknesses of the heart. And we don't have that much time, I think, to cover all of them. But inshallah, we're going to cover a few. So put on your seatbelt, grab an airbag, let's get busy. The first one is arrogance, al-kibr. To be arrogant, al-kibr. Arrogance. The first disease and one of the greatest diseases of the heart is arrogance. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as related by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. The one who has even an atom's weight of arrogance in their heart will not go to paradise. An atom's weight. What is kibr? What is, if maybe some of the sisters can scoot up, that way we can make room for those sisters, they can sit back there somewhere. That's good. What is arrogance? How do we define arrogance Islamically? What is the definition of arrogance? You know, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, he said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. After he said this hadith, that the one who even has an atom's weight of pride in their heart will not go to the paradise. Some of the companions of the Prophet said, Ya Rasulullah, we like to dress nicely. Some of us like to wear nice clothes and nice shoes. He said, this is not kibr. We can take one lesson quickly. As Muslims, we should dress nice. We should have a good appearance. Even if we wear it like a thawb or a shalwar kameez, you know, bonanza or whatever, iron it. Have a nice appearance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent his companions one time on a mission, and he told them, straighten your saddle. And this was led by Abu Dawud in a sound isnad, with a good isnad, with a good chain. Straighten your saddle and have a good appearance. Having a good appearance doesn't mean dressing like J-Lo. Well, remember having a good appearance, or Shah Rukh Khan. Having a good appearance means that I dress nicely, Islamically. That's why Sheikh Muhammad Hassan Shinqiti, one of my teachers, he told me every imam should have a budget to buy decent looking clothes. Doesn't mean you go out and just get like a $5,000, you know, set of threads or something, right? But that the person should have a good appearance. Then he said, this is not arrogance. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he defined arrogance for us in this hadith. He said, alayhi salatu salam, al-kibru batrul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. Al-kibr is batrul haqq. Batrul haqq is very dangerous. He said, arrogance is to turn away from the truth when it's given to you. Somebody comes to you and says, subhanallah, ya akhi, wallahi, I love you more than I love myself, and I saw you doing this today, and it's wrong. And you say, well, back home. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. When someone comes to a sister and says, wallahi, sister, you know, mashallah, you did a really great job today. However, you know, according to Islam, we should do like this. Then you're like, well, you know, I don't do it like that. Batrul haqq. And it's very sneaky, you know. Very sneaky. Because when someone disobeys Allah, and they disobey Allah knowingly, it is because they think they know better than Allah. And this is scary. Right? For example, someone says, Akhi, we got to pray. You know, hey, I don't think we should pray in the library. You know, right now, Tom, you know, the Abu Homeland Security man, they on CNN every day, and, you know, they just caught that brother over there, and man, say, hey, I think it would be better. I think it would be more intelligent. I think it would be wiser, you know what I'm saying, if we do it, like, you know, tomorrow. So, here's your opinion. And your opinion, then you say, well, you know, this is what I think. I don't care what you think, man. This is what Allah thinks. Humble yourself. Because the first sin after the sins of Iblis was the sin of logic. Abu Voltaire in the house somewhere? Right? Deistics philosophy that God created us, like Newton said, you know, a superpower works like a clock. Just created it and left creation to function on its own. Therefore, creation can think however they want to think. But this is not how we work. We believe that Allah, as we saw in Fatiha, is so close to us. So close to us. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah said, I'm so close to you. So, Adam, alayhi salam, Allah told him, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Don't come close to that tree, man. Then Iblis said, وَمَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ شَجَرَةٍ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. You know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you not to go to that tree, man? Because you're going to become an angel. You're going to live forever. You know, logically, that seems quite good. Right? That's why the ulama said Allah gave this story in the beginning of humanity to let us know that the one who submits to Allah, even their logic is subservient to his orders. Because as we say, as Francis Bacon said, halal bacon, that the human being's intellect is like a dim lantern. Sometimes it gets it right, but sometimes they fall on their face. And Allah described the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ, as a bright light. Nobody can get lost. So this is the first arrogance, turning away from truth. So any brother or sister right now, like I'm the first one, we're disobeying Allah, right? Like we don't pray Fajr. We say, well, you know, I read in Time magazine 2 years ago, 8 hours of sleep. That's the, you know, that's the average for a healthy individual. MashaAllah, most college students don't have that problem because they're getting 14 or 12, right, after playing Metal Gear Solid 2 all night. So we say, you know, I think I shouldn't go to Fajr because, you know, I gotta wake up early. Well, I ain't gotta wake up early, 10:30, and I gotta go to class, right? This is batarul haqq. This is debasing truth. The second one is even more dangerous, is to look down on people. And we're going to go through some causes of arrogance, and then we'll talk about their cures in Surah Al-Fatiha. And the next week we'll continue with ar-riya, showing off, and what Imam Ghazali said were the five kinds of riya, and how Al-Fatiha cured ar-riya. Well, hasad. And hasad means more than envy. So right now you can translate it as envy, but inshallah in the future we'll give you the translation, like covetousness with envy, next week. What are some of the reasons for arrogance? The first one is that people in general become arrogant when they start to have a lot of knowledge, or when they start to become assumedly pious. The arrogance of knowledge and piety. These two have destroyed more people than maybe any other kind of arrogance. And a way to understand this is to ask ourselves, who was the most pious person that ever walked the face of the earth? Was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what happens is when somebody gets pious, by the way, they should never really feel that they're pious, but if they, you know, get that, you know, got the flu bug, they get the pious bug. Somebody starts to feel that they're pious. I'm all that. I'm so close to Allah now. Gee whiz, you know. I'm praying my tahajjud. I'm fasting, you know, twice a week. Man, mashallah, look at me. We have also an internal mirror. We have an external and internal mirror, right? This person spends hours looking at the internal mirror. And then here comes, for example, a sister that doesn't wear hijab. Then here's the sister who wears hijab. Where are you from? Or we don't even talk to them. Or we just say, you know, I sure am lucky I'm not like you. This can be arrogance, man. Of course, the person who wears hijab, we said their level is high with Allah, higher than the one who doesn't wear hijab. But if they, can we shut the door? If, you guys can get close. If, we need a little bonfire going and marshmallows. If they wear this without ikhlas and sincerity, and they let it make them feel that they're better than others, they're in trouble. A brother, he memorizes some Quran, and he reads the Quran correctly. Maybe he spent some time overseas to learn how to read the Quran correctly. Or even maybe he learned here, since we have so many mashaykh right here in this area to learn from. And he comes to, you know, the masjid, and he discovers these brothers read the Quran like, I don't know, you know, like someone that can't read the Quran. Then he says to himself, MashaAllah, Anna, I am so great. I'm so good. I'm so, wow, you know? This is the danger of knowledge. Nobody was more knowledgeable than the Prophet ﷺ. But yes, you know, he used to say salam to children. He would be walking through Medina, he says, kids, assalamu alaikum. And he would be smiling. He wouldn't say, I'm sheikh, I'm alim. Assalamu alaikum. He used to sit on the floor and eat the food with the people. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help, and sisters always like this. He used to do the chores in the home when he went home to be with his wives. He didn't go home and say, you know who I am? You're asking me to wash the dishes? Oh, you know who I am, girl? I am the Prophet. You better step up off me. No. He, alayhi salatu salam, used to serve them. And he used to help them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one time the people was walking and found him sewing his own shoes. His own shoe sole. They said, you are a minimum mu'mineen. He said, man, I'm nothing. Who am I? This is humility. To be careful about your knowledge. You know how you can understand this? Who is the greatest scholar? Is Iblis. Nobody knows more than Iblis. But where is Iblis now? Is he chilling it with the, you know, European Fatwa Council? No. He's in the fatwa of the people of hellfire. That's why one poet, he said, Al-ilmu kal-ghaythi wal-akhlaqu turbatuhu. In tafsud al-ardi tadhhab ni'matul matri. Iblisu a'lamu ardi qatibatan. Wal-nasu tal'anahu fil-badawi wal-hadri. He said that knowledge is like rain and behavior is the soil. If the soil is corrupted, doesn't matter what kind of rain you put on it. Iblis, he knows more than every human being. But still, the only thing he got is curses. Look, even a kuffar cursing Iblis. Even atheists curse Iblis. So his knowledge without humility did him nothing. And what was the major mistake of Iblis? أَنَا خَيْرُ مِنْهُ I'm better than him. If we look at the lives of the Salaf, the righteous people, we find they used to fight themselves to be humble. Hassan al-Basri, he was the greatest scholar in his area. He says, I will not leave a room until I feel I'm worse than everybody in the room. The Prophet ﷺ, how he used to act with the sinner. You know one time he was given, we all know the hadith, he was given this khutbah and he was on the minbar and this one guy he walked in as related by Muslim and Bukhari I believe. Definitely one of them. And he was given the khutbah and he was watching this guy. And this guy was walking in and then he sat down. The Prophet said to him what? What did he say? Who knows this hadith? It's a very important hadith, man. Did you pray? Yeah. He didn't say to him, why didn't you pray? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. أنت آثم. You are a sinner. How come you didn't pray? He said, أصليت أم لا? Did you pray or not? Even though he was watching him. Why? Because the da'iyah, the caller to Allah, he never wants to feel the people, he never wants the people to feel that he's or she's calling. He never wants them to feel that he thinks he's better than them. So even though the Prophet was watching him, he said, did you pray or not? He said, no. He said, stand and pray. The second thing is that our da'wah is never based on suspicion. Our da'wah is based on facts. Like, for example, one time I went to this one masjid, I forgot my topi. And this guy said, what kind of guy are you? You don't even wear a kufi. I said, subhanAllah. I was saying it in my heart, wallahi, I forgot it in home. I had it there, but I left it in my house. This brother was saying, you don't believe in wearing topi. I said, subhanAllah, I don't want to tell him. Wallahi, habibi, قَدْ تَرَكْتُ يَعْنِي فِي بَيْتِي I left it in my house. If I told him, he's going to feel bad. Sometimes you see someone do something wrong. Like maybe you see a guy in the cafeteria talking to a girl. He said, I know it. Enrique Iglesias, man. I know it. You shouldn't think like that. Maybe he has to talk to her. Maybe he has a class assignment. Maybe so many things happening to him, you don't know about it. And maybe he is a sinner. But how are you going to deal with him? Because you know, the one who calls to Islam, as my sheikh told me before, is like a physician. You don't give Prilosec to every patient. Some people you give penicillin. Some people you give amoxicillin. Some people you give Tylenol. Some people you give Advil. Some people you... Everybody's medicine is different. Maybe you see a sister... Okay, and she's walking across the campus, and you see her do something wrong. And you say, Astaghfirullah, udhu billah, al-hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You have to make sure, what happened to her? What's her problem? And this is a sign of humility. You know what Ibn Qayyim, he said? This is a trip. He said, a sinner can go to paradise, and an obedient servant can go to hell. How? He said, the sinner... He said, for the one who's obedient to Allah, how they went to hell is they were obedient to Allah on arrogance. I pray Fajr, I'm good. I pray my tahajjud, I'm better than you. Ana khayrun min, ana khayrun min. Like shaitan. I fast, I'm better than you. I have this, I'm better than you. I have a beard, I'm better than you. I follow the sunnah, I'm better than you. I know this, I'm better than you. I have this madhab or this school, I'm better than you. This person in trouble. But the sinner, they realize one day, wallahi, I've been sinning. And when they realize that, their heart breaks. And they go in front of Allah and they start crying. And they start repenting to Allah. And they give Allah the sadaqah from their eye. And Allah forgive them. And they be from the people of paradise. So the kibra of piety and knowledge. The second is position. When somebody gets a position and they feel like, yeah, I'm the man now. No disrespect, I'm MSA president now. Or I'm Senate president. Or I'm Big Sheikh or whatever. Big Daddy Kane, yani. I'm something. The danger of position. Position can be in a lot of things. In your family, and your money, and your actual position in the organization, your academic position. Oh, I made the dean's list. Every year I was hit. Well, you ain't made Allah's list, you arrogant fool. Right. Humble yourself. The danger of position. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he had the highest position, he was so humble. And you know, as I said, the righteous people, even if they're given positions, they work to be humble. I had this one sheikh before. One time I was studying with him and my kufi fell off. Then he ran, it's embarrassing, this is your sheikh, man. He grabbed my kufi and he put it on my head. I said to him, astaghfirullah, man, you're the sheikh. He said, adhillatin ala al-mu'mineen. Allah says in the Quran, be merciful to the believers. Why did Allah say about the true believer they are merciful to the believers? Because they don't look at the believers, even the sinners, with arrogance. Be soft with them. Firm and soft. Doesn't mean you see a guy out there drinking a 40 and you say, oh, Brother Suhaib said, I have to make sure. I don't think that's beer. I think that's apple juice, right? Most definitely you need to go and advise the person. But how you advised him, what way you advised him, how will you carry yourself? It's very important to give the right medication. People used to come to the Prophet and say, what's the best action? He said to pray on time. Some people come to the Prophet and say, what's the best action? Be good to your mom and dad. Some people come to the Prophet and say, what's the best action? He said, jihad. Why the answer is changing? Because the patient is different. And all of these, most of these hadith found in Al-Bukhari, Sahih. So you got to know how to deal with the patient. And the first patient is you. So the danger of position. We look at the righteous people and we find, subhanAllah, that they used to force and fight themselves, like my sheikh before, to be humble. They would force themselves. Like, for example, Umar bin Abdulaziz. Umar bin Abdulaziz, one day he was with his companions and they were sitting and his sword fell from his horse. And one guy, he ran to get it and he put it back. And he said to him, Yakfiki Amir al-Mu'mineen, is this enough for you? Can I do anything else? He said, if I stand, I'm Umar bin Abdulaziz. If I sit, I'm Umar bin Abdulaziz. Who am I? Why are you doing that? You know, Umar bin Abdulaziz, he used to dig a hole in his backyard and he used to sit in it. If he couldn't pray Qiyam al-Layl, and this is a grave, and he will be sitting there and say, this is where you're going to live. This is your permanent residence. Then he will wake up and go and pray in the night. He's forcing himself to be humble with people. Umar radiallahu anhu. People used to come to him and say, make dua for me, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. SubhanAllah, you know what he used to say back to them? Man ana? Who am I? SubhanAllah, now you come to people, make dua for me. Oh, they're asking me to make dua for them. They used to come to Umar and say, make dua for me. Man ana? Ana athim. Who am I? I'm a sinner. You know, Umar radiallahu anhu, Hudhaifa, he used to keep the name of the hypocrites. Umar, after he became the Khalifa, and 700 cities was conquered by Umar, he would go to Hudhaifa and say, please, am I on the list? Tell me if I'm on the list. I need to know if I'm on the list. Man, this is Umar. Umar, the one who used to have lines in his face from crying in the night. He's thinking he's a hypocrite. This is humility. You know, one time a man, he found Umar radiallahu anhu, he was walking and he was carrying this water skin on his shoulder. And this was the habit of the slaves in the pre-Muhammadan time, that they would carry like water on their shoulders and stuff. So here's Amir al-Mu'mineen, man, Ra'is al-Dawla, the leader of the Muslim nation, carrying this like a slave. He went to him and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, oh Umar radiallahu anhu. He said to him, how come you're doing like this? This is not at your level. This is not for you. And you know what he said? Subhanallah. Wallah, it's amazing. He said, you know, when people come to me and I say something, they obey me and listen to me. And he said, I found that arrogance, it fell into my heart. And this is Umar. He said, so I'm carrying this on my back too. Make me humble. Imam al-Sha'rawi, one of the great scholars of Quranic interpretation in the last 100 years in Egypt. He used to give those who went to Arab countries, you know, every Friday, he will have like this dars on TV, and like 7 million people will be watching this, man. And Imam al-Sha'rawi, one time he came to the masjid in Qahira, in Cairo, and he was sitting in the masjid, and suddenly he went and he left. And you know, those of you who've been to Muslim countries, you know, at Maghrib time, the public restrooms and masjids, man, it's really bad, you know, like anthrax food or something. So like, this guy, he came into the restroom and he found Sheikh Sha'rawi was about 75 in the Azhari dress. He was scrubbing the toilets. He said to him, Subhanallah, Sheikh Sha'rawi, how come you're like this? He said, man, I was sitting in the masjid and I start to think I'm this great Quranic scholar. So I want to kill this arrogance. Scrubbing the toilet in the robes of ulama to break himself. To make himself humble. Some of us, we think we have so much spiritual knowledge, but subhanAllah, even if we're given one position, what about to be Sha'rawi? So to fight yourself, to struggle yourself. One time, wallahi, I gave this Eid khutbah in MCA, and this guy came to me afterwards, man, he was going like this to me. I thought I had dandruff. He was going like this on me, right? Wallahi, you know? And I felt myself like, I'm going to lose myself. Like, I got definitely like no barakah, dude. So homeboy was like, give me the barakah rub or something. So then I start to rub him back. Then he was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm the same as you. I'm not saying to praise myself. Just, I'm showing you like, you have to fight yourself. If not, you're going to get caught slipping. And here, especially academically. Oh, Muhammad, you're such a scholar. You know, in physics, we think you're such a genius. Oh, Muhammad, you're going to be the next Hawkins. Oh, Muhammad, then here's Muhammad. Then 2 years later, Muhammad says, I don't believe in Allah. And we got some people right now on this campus like that. They lost himself because of academic arrogance. We're going to go a little bit over time. Is that okay? Everybody's cool? We continue. The next one is to think about yourself, what's not true. And this is al-ghurur. Shaitan put mirages, man. You know, if you study, how many of you are education majors? Anyone? Stuffle, I should leave this place. I did my degree in education. There's arrogance in academic position, right? And oh, you're just teasing me. To look at yourself in a way that's not true. Like you think about yourself. There was a song before. Mr. Big Stuff. Who do you think you are? Mr. Big Stuff. Right? So you got Mr. Big Stuff in your MP3, in your cranium, playing in your head. You Mr. Big Stuff, right? Who do you think you are? You Mr. Big Stuff, right? And your head is getting bigger and bigger. You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it a story in Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter, which our next surah after this surah, inshallah. When those Arabs came to the Prophet and said, we believe, we are mu'minun. Allah said, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ أَمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. They came to the Prophet and said, we are believers. Allah answered and said, you're not. Don't give yourself names which you're not. You know, go to the Qur'an. In many places in the Qur'an, how did Allah describe the Prophet? Man, this is beautiful. When he said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, I'm a man like you. Can you imagine you are the Prophet, man? And you know that you are the last Prophet? You are sinless. Allah has forgiven everything that you ever did before and after. You are the one who was given so many karamat from Allah and so many mu'jizat from Allah. And you have to go to the people and say, I'm a man like you. You have to go to this dumb Bedouin, no offense. He can't read and write. He doesn't even know anything. And you have to say, I'm like you. Imam Qurtubi said, why? Why did Allah in so many places in the Quran say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, say, I'm a man like you, to teach us not to give ourselves big labels. Not to say, الشيخ, علامة, البحر العلم, العالم والعلماء قليل. Like you find many times we're doing. Imagine the Prophet, man, I'm a man like you. To some guys, spit, you know, they spit in their hand before. Like loogies in their hands. And you're the Prophet, and you're saying, I'm like you. The guy who goes in the masjid and empties his tank in the masjid, who urinated in the masjid, the Prophet has to come to him and say, أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, I'm a man like you. Why did Allah say in Surah Al-Jum'ah, He said, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ, Allah has sent to the illiterate, stupid people a messenger from them. Why is Allah saying this? Imam Qurtubi said that in these verses, Allah wants to teach us to be humble. He wants to teach the Prophet humility. And also He wants to teach us indirectly, don't give these big labels. Don't give ourselves these big, big, big titles. Just be yourself. Be simple. Be a normal person. One time a man, he came into Medina and he found some people sitting on the ground. And he said, where's Muhammad? He wasn't Muslim. And Muhammad saw some raising, he said, I'm Muhammad. He said, Ashhadu wa la ilaha wa ashhadu anna Rasulullah. How can this guy be sitting on the ground, man? And I can't differentiate him from others. So be careful of position. You know, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he used to say, if you can smell my sins, you wouldn't even want to be next to me. If you can smell my sins, wallahi, you wouldn't even want to be next to me. The third cause of arrogance is to praise people too much. You know, in Sahih Muslim, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he was sitting, and this man, he came in front of Uthman bin Affan, and he wasn't a Sahabi, and he started praising Uthman bin Affan. You are this, you are that, you are this, you are that. This Sahabi, this is deep, man. He took a handful of dirt, and he went to the guy and he threw it in his face, who was praising. He said, hey, what are you doing? He said, wallahi, the Prophet ﷺ told us that if we hear somebody praising someone like this, we should throw dirt in their face. You're killing the person. If you take a dagger and you stab it in their heart, you're doing less damage than you could with the dagger of your words. You know, subhanAllah, the righteous people, they don't like to be praised. One time I was... Imam Zaid Shaker, he was one place, and people was praising him, and he started crying. I said, why? I'm not like this. I know myself. Sheikh Abdul Hamoud, he used to tell me, if people praise you, you have to like be like a turtle. You put the shell around you, and internally, like, I'm not like this. 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 I know myself. I know my problems. And when we praise them people too much, sometimes we can push them into kibr. And this is very dangerous. That's why the rules of the student of knowledge, if you read any book about how to seek knowledge and study knowledge, they said there are some rules. First of all, you shouldn't praise your sheikh too much, because you can kill him. Secondly, you shouldn't dress like him. Because if you start dressing like someone, man, and you start looking exactly like them, and then everyone starts looking exactly like them, it can create a problem for them. Thirdly, you should make your absolute obedience to Allah and His Messenger. SubhanAllah, my teacher, I remember he memorized the Quran before he was 10, and he memorized the Quran in 14 qira'at, 7 da'if, before he was 14. And he told me this story, man. It really freaks me out every time I think about it. May Allah have mercy on that sheikh, man. He told me, in this village in Senegal, I memorized the Quran, and my father, he took me to this place to take this picture. And like they had me in this, like, you know, fly dress and stuff. And he showed me the picture. It was pretty fly. And they took my picture, you know, and half the Quran, you know. And he said, like, I was 10. And he said, you know, I start to feel like, man, I'm really, ooh, you know, something. He said, then I had to go from St. Louis, St. Louis to Dakar, which is the capital of Senegal, and we had to take this one bus. And this one lady, she had like a portable toilet. This is back in the days. And he said that her child defecated in the toilet, so it was like trifling, you know, the smell was really bad. And he said that she pulled the car cable. And the driver, he said, I was with my dad. My dad was the son, he said, of the Mufti of Senegal before. It's a big family of Mashaykh. 800 to 1,000 people in their madrasa. So he said, subhanAllah, I was there, and suddenly my father was dressed like in nice clothes, you know, and everybody knew my father. And then she said, like, excuse me, I need to go and clean out this toilet. He said, at that time, I just memorized the Quran. My father turned to me and said, he turned to her and said, my son will do it. Go and clean it. He said, I was in these nice clothes, man, half of the Quran, and I'm scrubbing the toilet, man, with this feces. When I got in there, my father was like, yeah, you need to humble yourself. That's why if you study the book Al-Ajrumiyyah, it's a famous book. And subhanAllah, if you look at this book, even how the author, rahmatullah alayh, how he wrote this book, he's teaching you humility. He began the book with Babu Kalam. Then after Babu Kalam, he started Babu Al-I'rab. And the first chapter in I'rab, I'rab is grammatical analysis, is Al-Rafu. Lil-Rafi arba'u alamat, al-dammat wal-wawa, alif wal-nun. He began with Babu Al-Rafu. Al-Rafu means in Arabic what? Irfa' sawtak. To be raised. Because he want to tell you, if you study, you're going to be raised. Your level going to be high. And then he finished the book, Bab al-Mahfudat. Al-Mahfudat means the letters, and we put kasra on the bottom. And also, mahfud means to be low. Khafid. Somebody, they lowered themselves. Wakhfud janahak lil-mu'minin. Why did he make his last chapter, Bab al-Mahfudat, to tell you, after all you learned in Al-Ajrumiyyah, you better be humble. Mahfud. Be low. The last part of humility, and we'll stop now, inshaAllah, is the humility of race and ethnicity. And for you guys, you don't have this problem as much as you find in masajid. But I know that in many masajid in North America, they split on lines of ethnicity. Did I tell a story when I first became Muslim, went to the masjid? About MQM and People's Party? I go to the masjid, I'm Gorasab, here come Gorasab, you know. I'm going into the masjid, and this guy grabs me and says, Namas polo bajan. He's telling me, hurry up and go pray. I speak your language, but watch yourself. So he takes me into the masjid, and he grabs me, and then I'm praying with this, you know, cha cha jang and stuff, man. And we're praying, and then after I pray, I hear someone else making the iqama. I was like, I'm new. Muslim is this, like, you know, like Oreo, you know, got the cream and the chocolate. It's like something like, you know, sandwich or what, you know. He told me, no, these people are bad people. Why? Because they migrated in 1947. They're not really Punjabi like us. Welcome to Islam. You have to be careful that your ethnicity and your race don't make you arrogant. Don't make you feel that you're better than people. Don't make you feel that you're above others. Always be low. We don't have time really to go into much detail, but we'll talk now about the famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. When he said that the heaven and the hellfire, they was arguing. And the hellfire said, what's wrong with me? Only arrogant people go in me. And the paradise was saying, what's wrong with me? Only the humble people go in me. So what is the remedy for this found in Al-Fatiha? I'm sorry I took your time. Please forgive me, okay? Everybody okay? Is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the ba is called a harf jar, prepositional phrase. And always in Arabic, a prepositional phrase has to be linked to a verb. And a verb implies action. And the actor is who? The one who says Bismillah, right? So when you say, like, for example, Bismillah, when you leave the house, you mean, Amshi Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm walking with the name of Allah. When you study, At-Ta'allam, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm studying with the name of Allah. When you pray, I'm going to pray Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So when you do anything and you say Bismillah, this means that you yourself don't have supreme power. But you need the power of Allah. This makes you humble. That I'm not the man with a master plan. I'm a man surrounded by a lot of plans. And I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me to pass through these plans. That's why Sheikh Sha'rawi said, when you say Bismillah and you walk, it's like Bismillah. And you walk in outside, it's like Bismillah alladhi sakhara lana al-ard. In the name of Allah, the one who made this earth subservient to me. when you send the letter. Look at Sulaiman. Even he sent the letter. إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ إِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. He began بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. To show that no barakah in this except with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second remedy for arrogance in Surah Al-Fatiha is when you say وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is you alone I need help from. Because somebody's arrogant, they don't feel arrogant, they don't feel they need help from anyone, right? So now you admit, I need your help. I need your assistance. And when you really say this, sincerely, you have to be humble inside yourself. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. طيب, I'm going to finish. I took about 10 minutes of your time extra.